Stop whining. Welcome to the Gastroenteritis Blues. My name is Steve Lippman. I'm with Emily Anderson and Dan Volpone. First question is for Emily. Emily, how do you take your coffee? I know Dan doesn't drink coffee.
I like it. I cream and preferably like a really artificially sweetened flavored cream. Like we at our house have Coffee Mate sugar-free vanilla and it's delicious, but I will do regular cream, but I'm a cream over sugar kind of person.
So you don't put in regular sugar, you'll have the creamer and not regular sugar. Got it.
Yeah, and if I'm at like a diner, I'll just do regular creamer with no sugar, but I like a flavored creamer.
Got it. And Dan, you're basically no caffeine, you live above the influence, is that right?
Well, I like a good, I don't have them so much anymore. I used to drink like a lot of Arnold Palmer, which has caffeine in it. Like I could go through a gallon in like 2 days. Like I would just
it's a good drink.
Go through it. But then I was like, you know what? It's probably not healthy to be drinking that much Arnold Palmer. So, I can't just have like a little bit. Like I can't have like, oh, I'll have a glass of Arnold Palmer. Like if I drink it, I'm going to drink the whole gallon. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of cut myself off from it. So I guess I don't really have caffeine.
Is there caffeine in Twisted Teas?
I don't think. I don't know. I never really thought about that one. I don't think so.
I don't know.
Maybe. I do drink a lot of Twisted Tea.
You know, we should have an intern that when we have a problem like this, we're big stars. We can't be looking it up. So we tell this person, unpaid, of course, we'll give them a free subscription to Liberty Ballers. But then they can look up these sort of queries that we have so we don't get, you know, out of our artistic realm. Would you use the Arnold Palmer as a mixer?
Yeah, I would use it occasionally. I think it, you know, it mixes well with like certain flavored, like maybe like a lemon flavored Bacardi. But a lot of times I would just drink it, like all of it. Like all of it. It's like, I don't usually mix it. And like, you have to keep in mind that I would just buy the cheapest thing I could find for alcohol because I was 19 when I was drinking all this Arnold Palmer. but yes, Twisted Tea does have caffeine because the tea leaves in it contain caffeine. So okay. There it is.
So you are getting some, because I know you have one of those every morning. So that's good.
That's not true.
All right, we're back. The Sixers had a 2-1 week, or since we last spoke. We spoke on whatever Thursday on Locker Room before the we did like a preview for the Cavs game that came out a half hour before the Cavs game. So you got to get it while it's hot. You know,
it was longer than half an hour.
It was longer than half an hour, but hopefully you got to it. They beat the Cavs pretty well. Then Embiid came back to play Minnesota over the weekend, and then in the back-to-back they lost last night to Memphis without Joel. They got their asses kicked. They looked pretty bad. And actually, good place to start, Emily was there to see it. Emily, I have had the feeling of going to a game and then you get the notification that Joel is out, and it is like, it's just a real bummer. You, I believe, it wasn't completely out of left field because he just came back and it was a back-to-back. What? Tell me, take me through your emotions, and then how was the game? How was it being there?
So I played myself. We talked about it last week, how I used Keith's inside information to purchase these tickets during the episode before it was released. Right. I kind of, at the time, I hadn't thought about the back-to-back option. And then when I did, I was like, oh, this isn't going to end well. But then I thought maybe they'll just have him play Sunday because Memphis is better than the Timberwolves and he would be useful in this game, but they did not do that. So once he was announced on Saturday, I was like, oh, we're screwed for Sunday. But I was like, well, it'll be fun. We had good seats. Hopefully we'll get some like good Dwight time. He like really engages the crowd. He's kind of like a cheerleader. It's quite fun.
Yeah.
So it was a fun game. Once it really got out of hand, I was enjoying the the G League team that was out, I was enjoying the Mason Jones minutes and the Iggy Brodzikis minutes. I was hoping he would score so that everyone would score a point. I thought that would be fun. I was dismayed and appalled when Memphis put their starting lineup back in against these kids. I thought it was hilarious, and I've lost a lot of respect for Memphis, and I have gained a lot for Doc for leaving them in and being like, nope, this is your game now. You take the wheel, because, right. And they held their own, and I was proud of them. So all in all, it's more fun to see a win. I don't have a good record. I've been to 3 games that they won one, have lost 2. Hopefully we'll see Joel soon. Joel was on the bench. He looked great. He jumped up a couple of times in like exasperation at bad foul calls. I saw him, you know, talking to Matisse on the bench. He and George Hill was there too, and he had a really shiny watch on.
Was George Hill interacting with his new teammates much?
He was, but he was talking to, like, so he was sitting on the end of the first row of the bench, like the very last seat of the first row of the bench, where Joel sits like directly next to the coaches. He's like, this, I am the person.
Right.
But so then George was talking a lot to like the kid, like the Paul Reeds and the Mason Joneses that are like at the end of the second row of the bench, which I think is kind of nice.
Yeah, it's and nice.
That happened to these young kids being like, oh, maybe like, oh, like this is what they're doing here. Like kind of, I like to think he was like teaching them. I don't really know, but that's what I like to think.
I do love the new crop of like blowout Sixers that come in, which are just like all these young guys who are having fun, and, you know, we can dream about what they'll become.
Yeah, I was watching them and I was like, there's no way these 5 people have never played basketball together before. I'm watching the first time these 5 people have played basketball together.
That's so funny. So the big news is Joel came back. He played against Karl Anthony Towns and the Timberwolves. He looked great. He looked really good to me. I mean, considering a 3-week absence, and he got to the line, I think, 17 times. He was, you know, he had some great blocks in there that showed that he was pretty up to speed. I think that, you know, he'll get his win back, and he just hadn't played in a while, but they, you know, the game against the Wolves, they won, I think, more easily than the score indicated. I think it was pretty much their game to win. Dan, what did you take away from Joel's return?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think there was anything crazy to take away. He only shot 6 of 14 from the field, but he looked fine. I'm sure, you know, maybe it takes a game or two for him to get like fully comfortable the way he was, but it doesn't look like he's gonna, you know, not be able to live up to what he was doing earlier in the year. He came back, he looked comfortable. I thought that, you know, early on the ball didn't get to him as much, and that kind of changed later in the first half, to the point where I think he entered the first half with 15 points, even though I felt like in his first 6-minute run he didn't get a ton of touches. But yeah, he looked fine to me. He took 17 foul shots. He actually didn't shoot them well for him. He was 12 of 17, but he's already a game high plus 20 in his first game back. So
yeah,
I mean, it looks like they missed him. I mean, they obviously missed him. They went 7-3 without him, but he's Joel Embiid. How could you not miss him? And, you know, I've been so sad not being able to watch him play basketball a couple nights a week. So I'm really happy he's back, just as a fan who loves to watch him.
Yeah, I was sort of surprised that they sat him, just because it seems like they would bring him back and then just sort of let him play the next night. But it seems like Doc thought this was going to be the plan all along, that they weren't going to play him in a back-to-back that quickly after being out. Some fans were like, why didn't you just bring him back in the Emily game rather than Saturday night? I guess that they wanted a little bit more of a buffer between that game and Boston. Who knows? Emily, what did you think about Joel being back on the court, and how did you think he looked?
I thought he looked great. I mean, him getting to the line that many times is just, it's part of what makes him great. I know it seems like a little thing, but like we probably shot so many less free throws without him in the lineup, and just to see him get to the line that many times, even though he didn't shoot them well, was, I'm like, this is like 17 free points on a normal night. Like, this is delightful. I know he was really hard on himself. He was like, good win, I played bad. But for his first game back, I thought he looked good. He didn't look like he was like babying himself. He was, his intensity was up, you know. Him and Towns are always fun together. And I was just happy to see him. I know that, I don't know if you have them, but he had those quotes about like when he got hurt and he was just like, he thought it was worse than it was. And he was right. Like, why? Like he was crying. And I thought that, I think I might have said it on here, when he like looked like he was crying on the court, I was like, I think he thinks it's over. Like, and then when he stood up, he felt better. Like he was like, I thought it was over. And I was like, why me? Like, why does it always happen to me when things are going well with the team? And I was like, that's heartbreaking. It's yeah. So heartbreaking because we love him so much. So I was just so happy to see him back. And I hope he like demolishes Boston on Tuesday. That would be so fun.
Yeah, I mean, he's played great against Boston in the other two games this year. So I would love to see him fully up to speed. You mentioned Towns. We should talk about, you know, obviously the last time those two guys played each other, they had a full-on fist fight on the court. And then Simmons came over and choked Towns. It was wild. Now, Karl Anthony Towns had like a horrific year where he lost his mother and other family members to COVID within a very close span. So personally, I wasn't hoping for like another fight. I thought I'd like to sort of leave that where it was. And they had a few hard fouls on each other. I think that it's very clear that they're not each other's biggest fan and they, you know, go back and forth. Al Horford, meanwhile, who has been banned from playing games with Oklahoma City because he's old and they don't really know what to do now with that contract. He liked two tweets about Towns dunking on Joel, which was a very impressive dunk, good dunk by him. What do we think this indicates about Al's time in Philadelphia? Do you think it didn't go well in retrospect? Because at the time, we were all into it. Emily, what do you think?
I mean, I think that we can kind of, we know considering how they're playing now versus last year that it didn't go well in retrospect. I guess maybe Al enjoyed his time here less than we knew.
Yeah.
But that's okay. We didn't enjoy him here that much either. So
yeah, everybody has been pointing at that clip where Towns and Embiid start fighting and like Richardson and Tobias sprint down the court and Al is just sort of like meandering back toward half court and not getting in there. I personally think Al Horford should fuck off. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Al Horford's super lame. Like, there's nothing wrong, like, in a vacuum with liking those tweets. Like, it was a great dunk, you know? It was a great dunk. If Joel had done the same dunk on Towns, we would be talking about it right now in a much different way. And if it were any other player, maybe not any other player, for most other players, I would be like, yeah, it makes sense that they would like that tweet. That was a real good dunk. But it's like, you just dunked on a teammate that you had last year that, you know, and at this point you're on like one of the shittiest teams in the league and they don't even want to play you. And you're in this situation, not because you signed a big contract, but because you couldn't change your game at all to play with the MVP. Like, yeah, I can't blame him for taking the contract, but that also wasn't the issue. The issue wasn't that he was, you know, making all this money, like necessarily. I mean, it was a bad contract for the Sixers, but there was hope that he would, you know, be more successful at the four, not stand at the elbow all the time, but actually get out to the 3-point line and space the floor and hit threes and be somewhat, you know, more effective as a backup center. I mean, the Sixers still struggled in non-Embiid minutes last year. So, like to know that you're in that situation and then he's still liking those tweets, it almost feels like he's like spiteful towards the Sixers that he's now in the situation on the Thunder, which I really think it's on him. Like it's not the contract spot. Like someone would still play him on that contract if he showed any ability to still be able to, you know, be the player he was in Boston and if it was just the wrong role on the Sixers. But that's not the case.
You know, yeah. The thing about him is that he's not a guy who's going to like get in fights in the locker room or there are reports that Horford's mad at Embiid or, but here's what he'll do is like a year later, he'll like a tweet of like his ex-teammate getting dunked on by his buddy in the league. And I think it's lame. And I hated the experience of having him on the team, on and off the court. I thought it was the pits from day one.
Can I make a Carl Anthony Towns point?
Definitely.
It's not about basketball. It's about his name. It's a big pet peeve of mine. The man's name is Carl Anthony. That is his first name, and his last name is Towns. And it drives me crazy when announcers or other people either say Anthony Towns for the bucket. Like, that's not his name.
Wait, oh, so Anthony isn't the middle name?
Like, it's no, Carl-Anthony Towns. And even, like, I just Googled it, and you'll see so many news reports that say Carl Anthony-Towns. Like, it's a hyphenated last name. It is not. Like, his last name is Towns.
So it's Carl Anthony. That's where the hyphen is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the back of his jersey says Towns, not Anthony Towns. I don't understand why it's hard for people to do that and why they say, like, Anthony Towns. Like, that's like calling me Elizabeth Anderson. No one does that.
We should do that.
We should.
I'm going to start hyphenating it. But yeah. It's weird to me. And then it's weird to me to see it I Googled it, and there's like a, whatever the Sports Illustrated like fan arm is, like in their headline, it says Carl Anthony - Towns. And I'm like, who did someone edit this?
Wow.
That's my stupid rant for the day. You're welcome.
That's great. Unmasked. What do you guys think about Towns as a player? Like, he's very good.
He's great.
Offensively, he's great. His teams are never good, and they're usually horrible. Do you think it's more of the AD thing where it's like you put, you know, he shouldn't be the best player on your team. But if you put him next to a great star, he'll be great. I mean, eventually I feel like he's going to have a huge series and, you know, he's really good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's that, like, if you're talking about like winning a championship, then yeah, I wouldn't want him to be the best player on my team, but there's also only like five players that I would think could be the best player on a championship team on any given year. So I don't think that's like a huge knock on him. Just like, I don't think that would have been a knock on Anthony Davis really. But yeah, I mean, I guess he's not one of those players. At least he's definitely not right now. I mean, he's still, I think, what is he, 24 or something? He's still really young. 25. Thank you. So he's still real young. He's 2 years younger than Joel, which is weird because he started playing before Joel. But yeah, I think he's a really, really, really good player. And I think his teams have always just sucked terribly. They're going to be even worse when D'Angelo Russell comes back because he's terrible.
He's bad.
Going to take shots away from Towns. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that a lot of his team struggles are not fully on him. I mean, and he's, you know, he's in the past been like a pretty bad defender, and he's like less awful of a defender now. He's kind of fine. But he's so good offensively. He's such a good shooter. He shoots the three like well for anyone, not just well for a big man. I think that if he were surrounded by like a decent group of players, that team could make the playoffs and do well. But, they did make the playoffs 1 year when Jimmy was there.
Right.
They were the 8th seed. And then everything went to shit with that, like, immediately. I think that he can, you know, be on, I don't think there's anything wrong with him that he couldn't be on a good team. It's just that he hasn't been on a good team.
Yeah. Emily, are you about there with your evaluation of him?
Yeah, he's a good player. He just needs to be on a better team. Maybe the Wolves will get better because they suck and they'll draft some young guys. But I think you don't want him to be like your best player. You're not going to win a title that way.
And the Sixers need a stretch five off the bench, I've been hearing. So, I mean, keep an eye on Towns in the buyout market.
Would love it.
I would take Towns on the Sixers.
Then we should since he's buddies with Horford, we can get Horford in here.
That's right. Also, I feel like you have to say you're kidding these days, or else someone's going to be like, Towns isn't going to get bought out, so I'm kidding.
I wouldn't take him, though. I'm not kidding about that.
That's not a joke. No. I need to mention, Sixers got blown out last night. They weren't good. They just didn't have it, and without Joel, Ben Simmons had another bad game, and we'll talk about him later. After the game, I need to do this because I gave Donovan Mitchell a lot of shit after the Sixers beat the Jazz, and Donovan Mitchell said, in my opinion, we won that game. When they lost that game is the problem. So after the game, Dwight Howard is talking to the press, and Dwight Howard says,
so stupid.
We didn't lose this game. We ran out of time. Okay. How much time is there supposed to be during the basketball?
He was a minus 15.
What are we doing? Dwight, I love Dwight. I'm a huge fan, but we can't do that. That's a Donovan Mitchell thing. We can't say after you lose by 16, we didn't lose that game. How long would the game have needed to be for the Sixers to win that game? That's what I want to know.
And it's not like the UCLA Gonzaga game where like, oh, Gonzaga hit a buzzer beater, but yeah, like right. Everyone was scoring. And if UCLA had another possession, they would have come back down and they felt like they could have scored. You didn't lose by one possession where you just needed another shot. You lost by 16, and that is way closer than it actually was, because the bench carried, and not he came off the bench, but like the real deep bench carried right. All the rotation players back into the game with 3 minutes left.
Yeah, there was like 20 minutes of garbage time. I don't understand how we ran out of time. It's like, whatever helps you get to sleep, but I don't know. Don't agree.
None of the Grizzlies starters even played 30 minutes. That's how much garbage time there was.
Yeah. Tobias has been really good. He was very good against Minnesota and was sort of scoring down the stretch. A lot of people ask, especially heading into the year, about this team, like, who's going to get a bucket at the end of the game from the perimeter? And, you know, we haven't seen any real signs of it being Simmons for any, you know, sustained stretch. Seth Curry and Danny Green sort of need other things to happen to generate offense for themselves. And so far, Tobias has been that guy. Embiid has obviously been incredible, but Tobias has done so well this year. We've talked about it that he hasn't, like, added brand new things to his game, but he's just way more efficient from every possible place on the court. I said during the offseason, if there was an amnesty clause, the Sixers, it would be a no-brainer to use it on Tobias. That's so wrong. It's funny how it's changed. I mean, I'm sure that was wrong at the time too, but now it feels like he's an actual asset to this team. And like, I wouldn't just salary dump him in any way. Like, he's super important to them. Emily, how have your feelings on Tobias evolved since last season and into now? And what are your current opinions on him and as it relates to his contract?
I mean, I was of the mind that like, we're not getting off this contract. The contract is a done deal. It's kind of like a sunk cost. Let's not keep talking about it. But now I kind of feel like, I mean, it's still a lot of money, but like, I'm happy to pay it to him, because without him, we would not be where we are right now. Like, I think he's the second best player on the team right now. He should have been an all-star, especially with the way Ben is playing. Like, I would have been happy for it to go to him over Ben. And just like, he's also like very durable, like, not to do the stupid best ability is availability, but like, he plays in every game and puts up 20 plus points in almost every game. And he is the guy that we go to at the end of the game most of the time. Like, he's just a solid, solid piece of our team that I think is very important at this point.
Yeah. Dan, what would you say? Are you in the same way?
Well, he's definitely been, you know, extremely important to the team. I mean, they're right now, they're the one seed, and if you just take him off this team, they're probably, you know, I guess the East really sucks, but you know, they're nowhere near as impressive, and they're 10 games behind the Nets. I think he's been that important to the team. He's carry them through a lot of games, especially without Joel. Would I give out that contract again? No, I still wouldn't, because I think that, you know, right now he's at his best. And we're just now talking about, you know, but he is playing up to it this year. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like if it were this year only thing, I would say that he has absolutely, you know, played up to what he's being paid to do, because he's you know, on a near max contract, and he's a top 30 player this year, I think, is not controversial to say. So yeah, without a doubt, I think that, you know, he's living up to it this year. And it's a huge reason the Sixers are successful. Emily said he's been their second best player this year. I 100% agree with that. And a lot of Joel's missed a lot of games. So in a lot of games, he's been their best player, and they're still damn good and have a really good record. So that says a ton about Tobias and how well he's played. And yeah, they haven't played a ton of games where, you know, teams have all their players, but the Sixers have played a lot of games without all their players. And Tobias has, you know, impressed me a ton this year. He's been so much better than he was last year. Just it's crazy. I mean, like, he struggled all kind of regular season, but the playoffs were like low. Like, he hit like, I think, 2 threes in those 4 games. And Al, I think, hit one. And it was like Fultz and Michael Carter Williams combined for more threes in the Magic Bucks series than Horford, I think Horford and Tobias did in the Sixers Celtics series.
Yeah.
It was like, it was bad. He's still not hitting a ton of threes, but he's just making all of his shots at a higher percentage than he did last year. He's still going to mid-range, which used to drive me crazy, but it's a good shot for him now. And so I can't get mad about it. I think that he went from a player who I couldn't stand watching to a player who I really enjoy watching. And I don't think it's like a great contract, but I don't think it's, I mean, obviously it's basically immovable still, because no one wants to, you know, trade for that on that deal, but there's no reason to try to move it. So who cares? Like, he's playing well enough that, you know, if it were last year, people would be like, oh, I don't want to worry about the contract because it's, you know, we can't do anything about it and he's here to stay. And I wasn't really in that boat because I was like, every time he sucks, it's all I can think about. But when he plays well every night, yeah, I can put it behind me because he's playing so well. So it'd be perfect. Yeah, he looks great.
Yeah, I mean, it's super hard to play up to being worth a contract that size. Like, you need to be like a perennial all-star. And even like somebody like Simmons, who is basically an all-star every year, there's questions about him because he's not been playing well. And so it's just really hard to do that. And Tobias is a guy who has never been on an all-star team. yeah, the one thing you mentioned about the playoffs is definitely real. Like, that's the one caveat, is that he has to be able to do this in the playoffs. At this point, I'm confident that he will, because he's shown it with such a large sample size this year. But yeah, I hope that he can keep it up in the playoffs, because they will absolutely need him to, you know, continue to get those shots. Moving on, I figure we can talk about Paul Reed. B-ball Paul, there was a clip that, I don't know, was it like an underground clip? Because it wasn't a Sixers clip, but it got out into the internet that they were on the road at practice, and Doc had a song playing, like sort of a soul song playing on the loudspeaker. And he said, if Paul Reed can tell me who sings this song, we don't have to practice. And he made everybody else turn around so that they wouldn't tell him a hint as who it was. Paul didn't know. And he said, Marvin Gray. Emily, what do you take away from this clip? I guess we can also throw in there into a larger Paul discussion here. Doc Rivers was asked after the game. He keeps starting Mike Scott at center. It's great. Going great. You know, have you thought about giving Paul Reed some minutes there at the backup five? And Doc said, no, I haven't. I like Paul, but I don't think he's ready. Doc, from one coach to another, I disagree. I think he's ready. I'd love to see him in there, Dan.
I just wanted to give credit. I went back in our group chat and I found who tweeted out this clip. So this is from at Forever Sasha on Twitter.
Yes. Thank you, Forever Sasha. I think that, you know, the five on the Sixers probably has a lot of responsibility in terms of like covering the rim and defending pick and roll. I think that Doc doesn't want to overload him with that. And minutes at the four, Sixers don't have a bunch to give him. But I don't know. I'd love to just give Paul Reed a shot, because Scott isn't good at anything. And Paul Reed is like pure energy and chaos on the floor. And I would love to see what he could do. Emily, give me some thoughts. What do you think?
Well, I think it's ridiculously endearing that he said Marvin Gray. He's a small child and I love him so much. And in terms of like playing basketball, I would like to see him in there. He got first quarter minutes yesterday, which was fun. But Mike Scott is giving me absolutely nothing. So anything would be an out. And I like Mike Scott. I think he's a great guy. Like the whole like loves Philly thing, really into that. But like on the court, I just get nothing. And so I need something. And if B-Ball Paul gives me something, then I am all for it.
Quickly, does he get like a pop when he gets introduced in front of the fans? Are the fans more excited to see him get announced than your regular bench players?
Not really. I think the B-Ball Paul thing is kind of a niche, maybe Sixers Twitter thing. I think he has more of a fan dumb on the internet than in the general fan community that just watch the games on TV. Like if I asked my dad, I don't think he would know that much about B-Ball Paul. The person who gets the biggest off the bench cheer is Matisse.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And still, I guess you haven't seen who without Joel, who during the pregame introductions is getting the biggest ovation for the Sixers?
It's hard because they announced Ben first and then they announced Tobias last. So it just by like nature of the beast, it ends up being Tobias because it's like the culmination of like the whole thing.
Got it.
But when it's Joel, not that I've seen it, but like in a regular game, it's always Joel.
For sure. Dan, what do you think about the stuff we have here on B-Ball Paul?
Yeah, you got to play B-Ball Paul. I mean, he's awesome. He has an elite nickname. Mike Scott sucks. Like, just put in B-Ball Paul. Like, he can't be worse than what Mike Scott has given you this year. Mike Scott had a couple games when he was hitting his threes, which is basically all what he's supposed to be. He's just a three-point specialist. And, you know, I don't know what's going on with Mike Scott. I don't think he was always as bad as he's been the last couple of years, but he is really bad. Like, he's like arguably the worst player in the entire league. He shouldn't be, I'm not making a joke. He should not be playing. I don't mean this to hate on Mike Scott. I think he is that bad. And they can't survive with him playing all those minutes. Everyone else is going to have to be playing perfectly. Earlier in the year, he got hot. He had games where he was hitting threes, and defensively, I felt like he was giving up just as many, you know, open looks as shots he was knocking down. But even as a three-point specialist, he's not hitting many threes. His three-point percentage is not good this year. It's below league average. He's supposed to be like a gritty guy who doesn't really play defense. I like him being on the team. You know, he's you know, always supports Joel, and he's, you know, always ready anytime there's any kind of skirmish going on, which I love.
Yes, that so, I love.
So it's nothing against Mike Scott, but I think he's horrible, and there's no way that Paul Reed is worse. Paul Reed has to be better. Paul Reed, you know, is going to give you a little bit of rim protection. He can, you know, so his shot looks terrible, but he makes some of them. Like, it looks just weird, I guess. But if it goes in, I don't care.
He's got some Jeremy.
He's energetic.
Got some Jeremy Grant.
Sure, I like that.
Yeah.
He brings so much energy. And Scott's slow, you know, like he's not, he's just not, he doesn't have it anymore. Not that he was ever like a great player, but he was like a legit NBA player for a while. And I just don't think he is anymore. And the fact that he's in the starting lineup is just nuts. And I also think it's one of the under-talked about like mistakes of last offseason. Like obviously like not re-signing Jimmy, giving Horford that contract, the fact that Richardson's just terrible. And you know, the Tobias and Horford contracts, but giving Mike Scott the full MLE was bad.
And that was like the first few minutes of free agency.
It was right away. And there was no way we couldn't get a better player. There's no way anyone was going to pay Mike Scott more than that. And if they did, go for it. And then again, I mean, we didn't upgrade it at this deadline, which is kind of a bummer, but there's no way Paul Reed shouldn't be playing for a combination of, I'm excited to see Paul Reed, and Paul Reed has shown in the G League that he's a good player. And also, I cannot watch Mike Scott start. I think that's wild. And I don't like, it worries me that, like, Doc is this stubborn a little bit. Like, not to, like, obviously I'm not worried about a ton with the Sixers. I don't want to, like, rain on how well they've been playing. But, like, I don't know what the hell Doc is doing. He just doesn't, and he's obviously a great coach. He hasn't playing great, but, like, he's so stubborn about these certain things. Like, there's no chance. Paul, like, he says Paul Reed, he doesn't think he's ready. Like, he's ready to be better than Mike Scott. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, and we've established that we're not panicking about the Sixers needing, like, a stretch big off the bench. I feel like when everybody's healthy, it's fine. But I will say there is a bit of a problem if Mike Scott has to play this much when Joel doesn't play, which is definitely a real scenario that comes up. The options really are Paul Reed, who it seems like he's too young and Doc doesn't trust him, or Simmons at the five, which is just doesn't really ever work all that well. And it sort of negates some of what makes Simmons such a special defender, which is that he can play with everybody on the perimeter. I don't think it's a perfect situation. I think losing Tony Bradley is a bit of a shame because he was adequate. But in the end, I don't think this is going to be something that gets in their way in any serious conversation. Speaking of Simmons, Simmons has been really bad since the All-Star break. And it's really a miracle that the Sixers went 7-3 without Joel while Ben was not playing well. God bless you. Dan was on mute, but I wanted to bless you.
Thank you.
What's going on with Simmons? Now, Dan and I texted about this last week, and some people got mad at Dan, not me, on the internet. Because I said, as we were talking during a game when Simmons was playing poorly, and I was like, just wait for the I bet he's hurt tweets that are about to happen, which is that anytime Simmons is not playing well, lots of fans say, well, he's hurt. What do you think? Would you play well hurt? It's like, what about, so whenever he plays well, he's not hurt? I don't understand. I think what I figured out is that a lot of players take jump shots, and jump shots come and go, and, like, you go through slumps and all that kind of stuff. Simmons, when he's playing well, he is aggressive and running at the rim. So when he's not doing that, people are implying that he's not healthy. I don't know. Who knows? I wouldn't mind him getting a day off here or there. I think everybody should get a day off here or there. But I don't think that there's really any evidence right now to suggest that he's not healthy. I mean, yesterday
we do this every time.
Yeah, we do this a lot. And yesterday he was aggressive in the first 3 minutes, and he looked like he was sort of really out there. I think he dove on the ground for a loose ball, like, and then it just sort of went away. I do think that this has all helped a lot more with Joel, because, like, the natural order is restored to the team and to the offense and all of that kind of stuff. But in games when Joel isn't there, you know, Doc Rivers clearly signed a contract with Clutch during the offseason that said, I will not criticize Ben at any point for anything. So after the game, Doc says, I'm not concerned about his scoring. Meanwhile, I think this is the right move for Doc. I don't think that the Brett Brown, you know, demand is the way to go with Ben. I think that this is, if you want to stay on Ben's good side, which you do, and, you know, you just want to support him. So I get it. But I really hope that Simmons turns it around soon, because they certainly need more than what he's been giving them. Emily, where are you at with Ben's recent struggles?
Yeah, I agree. I would like him to turn it around. Like, Rich Hoffman had a tweet about, you know, the first 13, he's like basically where he was the first 13 games when we had these discussions about, like, what is Ben doing, what's happening. And then the middle 18 games, he was great. So, like, I don't know what this ebb and flow is about, but there hasn't been anything. There hasn't been even, like, Ben is questionable with, like, knee soreness, and then he plays. Like, there's been no injury, like, hints. So I think it's really just an excuse people are saying. Like,
right.
But also, like, it doesn't make any sense logically outside of an injury. Is because a lot of Ben's game is effort, I want to say.
That's the thing, yeah.
And so it's like, if something isn't keeping you from putting in that effort, then what are you doing? So I don't know. I mean, I don't get paid to figure these things out, but it's very confusing.
Yeah, I mean, there's one instance yesterday where they were swinging the ball around and he caught it under the rim. And there was a defender there, but he wasn't bigger than Simmons. And Simmons didn't even consider going up with it. So I don't know exactly what's happening. I don't think that a day off or a couple days off would be a bad thing, you know, just to give it a shot. But I'm not sure. Dan, where are you at?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure like a day off is fine. It wouldn't bother me, but I'm not convinced that he is like hurt. I could think maybe he used a day off to, you know, reset himself. But
right.
Yeah, he's been playing bad. We're now at the point where basically he's had more bad games than good games this year, I want to say. At least, you know, bad for his standards. It's not like he's like, you know, the worst player in the world when he struggles, but he's, you know, on this team needs to be a player who does more. And he's had more games where he hasn't done more. He had, you know, two of the last three games, he didn't crack 10 points. And I think he's only had like a handful of games where he scored at least 20 points and shot over 50% from the field the entire year. I think maybe four of them, which is, I want to say also how many games he's had under 10 points. So he's, you know, he has had, you know, a few great games and a few really bad games. And the middle hasn't been super impressive either, I don't think, because even since the break, you know, this was from, I think from Bodner's just recap. But, you know, he said that since the All-Star break, Simmons is averaging 12.9 points, 7.9 rebounds, and 6.2 assists with 3.8 turnovers, with 48.6% true shooting percentage, which is horrible. And yeah, we do this every time with Ben, but he has to do more. And it was kind of one of my worries is that, like, he was playing so great for that stretch, you know, however many games that was. It was a little, you know, it was like month and a half-ish. So however many games were played in that time. And he really was great. You know, I was really impressed with, that was the best I had seen Ben play. I thought it was even better than his great stretch last season. But, you know, he has this tendency to be unaggressive to, you know, he'll occasionally go into guys' bodies on a drive, but a lot of times he'll create a little contact and then almost like jump backwards and try to like finger roll it in. And he comes up short a lot on those. And when he's playing well, he does that less so. And I think that it's hard to break those kinds of habits. Like, we thought the whole thing with Tobias coming into the year was like, you know, Tobias has to play quicker and he has to take more threes. And he did that for like five games and we were all thrilled. And we thought that's why he was playing well. As it turns out, he's just playing better this year. He's making more shots. He looks more comfortable. He's so much more confident, but he's taking fewer threes. He hasn't been, I don't think, particularly fast. There's like a couple times a game when he, you know, decides to take a quick trigger three, but, you know, he's still not quick to move the ball or anything like that because guys fall back into old habits. And that's not to complain about Tobias. He's been great, but I think it's hard to break that kind of thing when that's how you're used to playing. And Ben is kind of used to playing in this way where, like you said, you know, he came out for 3 minutes and was really aggressive and was less so the rest of the game because he tends to fall into that kind of thing. And they can't have that. I thought that was a killer in the Raptors series a couple of years ago when, you know, Ben scored 10 points or fewer in 4 out of 7 games. And the Sixers can't win that way. I mean, you know, Tobias has been great, but they're not going to keep up with, you know, the Nets scoring if Ben can't be providing, you know, 20 some points. Ben has to be a guy who scores, who, you know, uses his physicality to get points, who is, you know, creating offense from the defensive end, which he hasn't been doing lately. So, you know, I think that there are reasons to be concerned about Ben, just like there have been all year. And basically at this point, I'm just hoping he hits a hot stretch for the playoffs. But, you know, because when he gets hot, he's great. But he seems like one of the few players that people want to judge solely based on his hot streaks. You know, they're like, because it looks like he could do it all the time. It's not like it's Danny Green getting hot from three. You know, it's like, oh, Ben's just making his layups now. You know, Ben could play this defense all the time, but he doesn't, you know? And like, I see it. I see that he could be this player, but he's not this player all the time. And people kind of act like he is. We need more from Ben. We need him to be that player because we're so much better when he's that player.
Yeah, I think that indecisiveness is a lot of what it comes down to and passivity. And, you know, it leads to a lot of turnovers and, you know, that's sort of what he's run into in this recent stretch. I do think everything with Joel is better, you know, and that, like, you know, Ben, even if he's struggling, the Sixers will be mainly fine because Joel is so good on both ends of the court. Of course, in the playoffs against the best teams, they'll need everybody to play well. But I think that Joel restores a lot of that sort of stuff to the team, which hopefully can let Simmons sort of fall into less of a role where he might feel less onus to generate offense than when he does when Joel's out. Who knows? Before we get on to the predictions and an update in the standings, any thoughts on the Phillies? Phillies, they swept the Braves the opening series. I was thrilled. I love the Phillies. I'm excited. I'm excited about them, and I hope that they're not bad again. Dan, anything?
Yeah, I thought it was good that they won all the games. I thought that was a good thing. I don't watch as much baseball as I used to. I used to watch every Phillies game when I was younger, and I got away from it. I thought they were like just brutally boring the last many years. And I, you know, I'd occasionally have a game on, but it'd be more in the background. But I actually sat down and watched all three of these games, probably because I'm so bored with everything else in the world right now. So, yeah, I watched all the games. I thought it was great. I think I really need to get one of the powder blue jerseys because I think it would look nice with my eyes. And I like that you can unbutton them and wear a different shirt underneath. So I'm kind of watching. I want to see if I can, you know, become attached to a player and want to get their jersey because I, like I said, I haven't really watched enough to like be a huge fan of one particular guy. So that's mainly my goal with the Phillies this year. And also I think that they could go 162-0. I don't see any reason they can't. The Braves, I think, you know, they definitely can't at this point.
No, so, I don't think they could.
I don't think they could do it. And I think the Phillies could. So I feel great about that.
Yeah. Emily, thoughts on the Phils?
Yeah, I'm excited for this season. I am being ridiculously optimistic. I put $5 on them to win the NL East last night.
Let's go.
I was like, it's happening. Big bets over here, you know, $5 to win $48. Really gonna.
Well, those are pretty good odds. $48.
Yeah, they are.
You have to check that out.
They're like four out of five. Like they're, you know, it's worth $5. I'm just saying, 162-0. I am excited for the season. I really like this group of guys. I think they're fun. I live for Didi's emoji tweets when they win. And I really want Rhys Hoskins to have a good season. I really need a good Rhys Hoskins season. So
I'm a fan. He walks so much. I really, you know, I think ideally he'd be a DH if they had one, but I think he's a positive in the offense, even when he's not hitting a bunch of home runs. I think he's solid.
I do too. I just think that the rhetoric around him is that he needs to be hitting more, and it's people that like don't realize how much he walks and like that. And his game has kind of changed since he came up to the Phillies because he was hitting like crazy and, you know, slugging. And now he's kind of, his game has evolved into really, you know, getting a lot of walks and making pitchers throw a lot of pitches. And that's valuable too. But people remember that, like those like early slugging days, and they're like, where's that guy? Like, what's happening? I like him a lot. He like lives in the city and has a cool wife, and I just like,
and his dog died. I'm so sad for them.
It's very sad. I wasn't going to bring it up, Steve. I didn't want to bring people down.
I'm sorry. Yes. His dog Rookie, who I followed on Instagram, passed away. It's very sad.
Yeah. Very sad. I'm going to the game on Wednesday though. The Phillies game.
You're going to the Phillies game on Wednesday. Oh, you're not the Sixers game in Boston. That makes sense.
No, I'm not going to that one. I'm going to the Phillies game.
They're in Boston Wednesday?
Tuesday. Yeah, they're in Boston on Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah. Tuesday. I thought it was Tuesday.
Sorry.
I thought they were off. They're off.
John has 2 days off and then two more days off because they play on the wedding. So I won't be attending my wedding. I'll be watching the Sixers on TV.
Only if Joel plays.
Only if Joel plays. If he doesn't play, so I don't need to watch it.
So that brings us into the predictions and stuff. Emily, can you update the leaderboard here in terms of our season predictions?
Oh, man. You guys are gaining on me because I picked them to win the Denver game, and that was wrong. So you and Dan both went 3-1 this week because we thought they would win against Memphis, and I went 2-2. So Dan is 33-21. I am 34-20, and Steve is 29-25. So making some moves here. Yeah.
This week, the Sixers are on the road. They play at Boston on Tuesday, and then they play in a back-to-back on the road at New Orleans and then at Oklahoma City on Friday and Saturday. Let's get to our predictions. Let's go to Emily first. Emily, as you said, one game will be happening during your wedding, which I believe is the Pelicans game. Mm-hmm. Will the Sixers win for your honor against the Pelicans?
I think they will.
Yeah.
I think Joel will be playing. I want to say that they'll lose the second game of that back-to-back with all the travel, but I'm not going to say that they're going to lose to the Thunder. I'm just not going to do that.
Right.
So I'm going to have them going 3-0 again this week. I don't know. I just am a broken record, but this time I actually believe it. Like, they are much better than all these teams. I'm not just playing the statistics. I think that they will actually beat all these teams.
Dan?
All right. So I think that they are better than all these teams, especially if Joel plays every game. I think they go 3-0, but I'm going to make a prediction that he sits out against the Thunder. So I think, against the Pelicans. So I think they lose on Emily's wedding. I'm sorry, Emily. I hope they don't. I think that he'll sit out the first half, I want to say. And I think that, like, Zion is just so tough. I'm actually really excited to see. I hope they have Ben try to guard him because
that'll be cool.
I feel like a lot of the players Ben has been like, not he plays good defense on everyone, but the players he's been like really successful at locking down are almost like getting their points in the opposite of Zion. Like, he was like, you know, he's so quick that he can, you know, really stick with like Luka. And, you know, Luka's their whole offense. So, you know, he has the ball and Ben can just lock in every possession. Where Zion's just running through guys in almost more of a like a mini Giannis type way. So I'm excited to see that happen. I'll say Joel sits so the Sixers lose that one, but no way they lose to the Celtics because I would be so mad if they did. So I'm going to say we beat the Celtics, lose to the Pelicans, and beat the Thunder 2-1.
I think they'll win all three games this week. I think that this is a road week, but not against extremely tough teams. And I think they'll really be looking for a win on Tuesday in Boston against a team that they have a history with, and Joel will be back. And yeah, I think that they're just better than the other two. I would think that barring any sort of scares, Joel would play all three. You know, Doc sort of hinted at this won't be the thing for every back-to-back, that Joel's going to sit every back-to-back. It's just going to be on a case-by-case basis. Am I frozen? No, I'm not frozen.
Not for me.
We're alive.
You are for me. Tired. I'm back.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Well, I think that is going to do it. We will be back with a special episode on Wednesday. That's all we have to say about that. It will be a special episode on Wednesday, and then the gastroenteritis.
Is that
going to
be locker room, or is that going
to
be?
No, that's not going to be locker room. We'll have to figure out another locker room thing. Yeah.
All right, that makes more sense. Okay. Yeah, but, we're publishing it Wednesday though.
Right away. Yeah.
Okay. That's exciting. Let's do it.
Yeah. So that'll be a fun episode. I can't tease Keith Pompey is now a frequent guest of the podcast. So it's not Keith Pompey. And then the Gastroenteritis Blues wedding is on Friday. So it's a big week. Good to see you both. We will talk to you on Wednesday with that special episode. And that's it. Good seeing you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, one more thing. I'm going to need Daryl to stop tweeting about NFTs all the time. And whatever he does with his tweets is driving me nuts.
Daryl, I don't care how many times you want to tweet about these. I'm not going to look it up and find out what it is. I don't know what it is. I don't want to know what it is. I'm content with $0. I'm done.
I understand the tweet thing, but I've told you guys I'm very into Top Shot. I'm very into it.
That's at least is basketball centered. So
yeah, and by very into it, I mean I've spent like $18 on cards, and I'm refuse to spend any more money. But I bought a pack, and I'm anxiously awaiting it to come so I can open it and see what's inside.
Oh, wow. You have to wait for it to come.
Because they're having so many like users, they like did this new system where like you pre-order the pack, and then there's a line, and then you get the pack too. Weeks later, because they have to certify everything. So I'm just waiting for it at this point. Wow.
Well, go Sixers, go Phillies, and stop tweeting about NFTs, Daryl Morey. We will talk to you on Wednesday. See ya.
See ya.
Boy!